The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 29th, 2021.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a beautiful day here it is in Sonoma County. Well, listen, I have two special guests with me this morning. Joining me on the phone is Kirsten Flutes, who is a writer and assistant editor of Dark Matter, Women Witnessing, and she's going to read a five-minute essay, An Imagined Letter from COVID-19 to Humans. Very, very interesting. With all that is going on, when I heard this piece, it just puts into perspective what we need to learn from the experience we're having. You know, I believe everything happens for our highest and greatest good, and if we can just glean the lessons from it, we'll be a lot better off. Also joining me on the phone will be Terry Moon, founder of TerryMoon.com, who has taught effective and empowering ways of thinking and communicating and is a holistic healthcare practitioner. She's also an international best-selling author and an inspirational speaker and workshop facilitator. And we're going to talk about ways we can reduce stress during these times, what I call upside-down times, where there's a lot of us making a lot of good trouble. And also how to kind of calm ourselves down and look to the strength that we have within each and every one of us, particularly women, that we need to stand up and our voices need to be heard. Well, this is the last Monday of the month. Can you believe it? March 29th. I mean, what a month this has been. So this is the last Monday of the month, so we'll be doing the Women's Spaces Pledge. You know, it's been a great tool for me this week. I mean, I must have said that pledge probably, I swear, 100 times this week to just get me focused and to know that my self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself. And that's a little bit about what Terry's going to be talking about. You know, when I first ran into her and found out about her, I said, oh my goodness, Terry, you must be on Women's Spaces and share all this vital information with our listeners. So I'm really excited to have her on this morning. A special announcement. Faith Ross, founder of the Petaluma Blacks, you know, and we have had her on our show several times, was named Woman of the Year in Sonoma County. And Senator Bill Dodd was the one who announced that. And, you know, when presenting her the honor, this is what he said. Faith kept a spotlight on many contributions of African Americans in the challenges they continue to face at a great time reckoning in our country. And that's what he said in his news release. Well, she emerged as a leading voice in our community as we strive for racial equity and social justice. I'm so proud to recognize her efforts at this turning point in our history. You know, I am so proud to say that I know Faith Ross. I have worked with her on the Sonoma County Human Rights Commission. She is a dedicated community person and organizer, and I totally agree with what Senator Dodd said about her. So congratulations, Faith. You deserve the recognition. The world is a better place for children and in our community due to your efforts, and I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Faith Ross, Woman of the Year, Sonoma County, a woman, a vibrant woman from our own Petaluma City. Well, I want to do a special shout out to the North Bay Organizing Project and Sonoma County ACLU for their deep democracy and their deep democracy civics team for presenting such a great panel, providing information on the role that district attorney has, their job description, and it gave us some great tips on what to look for when we are voting for district attorney. And what I realize is next year, Jill Ravitch, who is our first woman elected to be district attorney in our county, is not going to be rerunning. I believe she had three terms, and she's going to retire. I mean, knowing Jill, she's not going to retire, but she's not going to be running for district attorney. So there is going to be an election coming up next year for that position. So people need to pay attention to these things. And the presentation they gave for me was so enlightening because it started giving me things to think about that I don't normally think about. Wow. So much has been going on. I can't believe that big ship is stuck in the middle of the Suez Canal. I mean, it's mind-boggling when I see it on the television. And it's very interesting. You know, as Ken and I were coming here to the studio, I was telling him, I said, you know, we need to have more manufacturing in our country. We don't need to do all this importing all the time. You know, we need to start opening our own factories. You know, during World War II, it took us like 7 months, 6 or 7 months, and we were geared to go to war. Why can't we just set up factories and start manufacturing right here in our country and start giving our people more and more jobs at a decent wage? I mean, people are calling for $15 an hour, and I don't know why it's so difficult to make that the minimum wage. I mean, there's a fight for everything lately, it seems. Well, as I do every Monday, I do this segment, Our History is Our Strength. And why do I do that? I think it's very important that we know whose shoulders we are standing on and what women have accomplished. So I found some really great women that I want to go through really quickly, and then we're going to do the pledge. On March 31st, which is 2 days from now, in 1888, the National Council of Women of the United States, organized by Susan B. Anthony, Clara Barton, Julia Ward Howe, and Sojourner Truth, among others, the oldest non-sectarian women's organization in the United States. 1888. That's how long it's been that we have been struggling for not only women's rights, but human rights. You know, and it doesn't seem to get any better. You know, it seems to get worse and worse, and then it gets better and better, and then all of a sudden it's a step forward and a step backwards. But hopefully, in the next 4 years, we'll go forward a lot more. And then on March 31st, 1776, I love this one, 1776, Abigail Adams writes to her husband, John Adams, who is helping to frame the Declaration of Independence, and cautions, remember the ladies. It took us almost 200 years after that to get the vote. And here's Abigail Adams telling her husband, who's writing the Declaration of Independence, not to forget the ladies. And they systematically, ladies, left us out. It wasn't until 1920 that we actually got the vote. And we only got the vote by one vote. So women need to recognize these men were not very excited about having us vote. And I can understand why. Because we put the children first, not profit first. Well, happy birthday. Here's a special birthday. March 28th, which was yesterday, 1886, and this woman died in 1982. Excuse me. Yeah, she died in 1982. Wow, she lived to almost 100 years old. Clara Lemick, a Jewish immigrant from the Ukraine, labor activist, suffragette, and consumer advocate, a leader of the uprising of 20,000 labor striking in the shirtwaist workers in New York's garment industry in 1909. And it's amazing how long, when you start thinking about it, workers' rights have been being struggled for. I mean, it's mind-boggling to think where we are today. We made some improvements, but boy, I'll tell you, when you look at it, there are powers that be that would like to bring us back. I think they would be happy to say women can't vote anymore. I mean, just an amazing, when you think about it, I don't even want to think about it anymore. Well, you know, just before I go into the pledge, I want to read something that I found that I thought was really great. It really was. I don't know. It's an anonymous person. It starts out like this. Dear everyone, if you oppose birth control, don't use it. If you don't believe in evolution, don't study it. If you don't like abortion, don't have one. If you don't want to marry someone of the same sex, don't do that. But you have no right to tell others how to live, learn, or love. Just listen to that. You have no right to tell others how to live, learn, or love. Think about that. Think about that. I mean, we make such a big deal trying to force everybody else to do the way we feel. No. The number one rule should be no harm. Allow others to live freely, to do what they feel is okay for them, as long as they don't try to push it on me and as long as they don't harm me. I do not have a problem with that. Well, time to do the pledge. You know, it's amazing, this pledge. It really serves me, if you want to know the truth. I mean, this week, I must have said it 100 times. I mean, I have been bumping up against so many different things where, you know, where I could be thrown off a little bit. But I'm not. I do the pledge, and I remind myself. And it helps me to center myself, and it also helps me to know who I am and to know that I'm okay and to be able to follow my intuition. Because, you know, sometimes you have this intuitive feeling. You say, oh, this is not right. And then everybody, oh, you're crazy or blah, 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 whatever they want to say. And then all of a sudden you back down because you feel like, oh, who am I? And then all of a sudden the thing that you were fearing or your intuition really turned out to be correct. And you say, darn, why was I so afraid to speak out? So that's what this is. That's the whole idea of the pledge, to help you to recognize who you are and to have more self-esteem. So when you do speak out, you're not shaking and quaking and saying, who am I to say anything? You have every right to speak out, particularly as women in today's world. We should be speaking out for the children. So let's do the pledge. And Ken, would you join me? Yeah. You know, mine, Ken, and I are here in the studio live, and it's just wonderful that I have him here. Thank you for all that you do, Ken, for Women's Spaces. Go on the website, www.womenspaces.com, and see the beautiful job that he has done. Enjoy the poetry, and you can see all the shows are archived there. So let's go ahead and do the pledge. Here we go. Repeat after me. I'll say each line, and then just repeat after me. My self-esteem
does not depend
on anything
outside of me.
My self-esteem
depends
on my relationship
with myself
and
my higher power.
How does that make you feel, Ken, when you say that? Does that kind of empower you a little bit?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's a good
reconnect.
Reconnects with who you are as a person. So I'm going to say it one more time and just kind of absorb it. Listen to the words. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Now, the first part, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. That's that self-talk that we do. That's the thing that has to let you know that it doesn't depend on what anybody else thinks of you. I mean, it's not, don't get me wrong, it's nice to be thought well of, but that should not be your highest priority. Your highest priority is do what is true to you. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. You know, for Christians out there, it's very interesting. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot love anybody, I believe, until you learn to love yourself, until you see your humanness, until you see who you are as a human being. It is very difficult to see what somebody else is. And, you know, there's an old saying, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, if you don't feel good about yourself, you're not going to do very well to others. But if you feel good about yourself and know who you are, it is easier to be kind, compassionate, have empathy. So I'm going to say it one more time, and then we're going to take a musical break. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself. And I like to put my higher power, sometimes I say creator. Everybody has a meaning for higher power. Whatever that meaning is for you, that's what you put in that line. And if folks want to have a copy of the pledge, just go on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces, and there it is. Click on copy and put it on your Word and print it out, and you have one for yourself. Also, if you make a donation to your community radio station here or anywhere else that you decide to do, let me know. And also, if you would like me to email you a copy of the pledge, just email me at elaine@womenspaces.com and request it, and I'll be happy to do that. Well, we're going to take a musical break. And I try to pick songs that kind of go with the guest. And what's going to happen is it's going to be a five-minute she's going to be reading a five-minute letter that she was inspired to write. In fact, it went all over Facebook. It was very, very popular. Several other people have recorded it. So when I return, I will be talking with Christine Flintz. She's a writer and assistant editor of Dark Matter. I'm going to find out what Dark Matter is. That's really interesting. Women Witnessing. And she's going to read, it's a five-minute essay, an imagined letter from COVID-19 to humans. And the reason I picked No More Wars, because if we do not stop spending our tax dollars on war, all the issues in the essay that Kristen is going to read is going to have a hard time happening. Okay? So pay attention. It's going to be 5 minutes, but now we're going to listen to the song No More War, and that is sung by Jacqueline Sharp. And when we return, Kristen Flotz reading her five-minute essay, An Imagine Letter from COVID-19 to Humans. Go ahead, Ken.
No more war, war never again. For me, no more war, war never.
no more war. Can you imagine what we could do with those $1 trillion that we're just blowing up? I mean, it's just amazing to me. Anyway, for you just joining in, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest joining me on the phone, Christine Flintz, who is a writer and assistant editor of Dark Matter, Women Witnessing. And she's going to read a 5-minute essay, an imagined letter from COVID-19 to humans. Kristen, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Hello, Elaine. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm
delighted
really,
to be here.
I'm really excited. You know, I kind of forgot. Where are you calling from? I know you're calling from back east.
I'm calling from Connecticut.
From Connecticut. Oh, my goodness. Here you are in California. It's just amazing, our technology. I mean, we've had the radio, of course, for a long time, but it's still, to me, always so amazing. You know, before we begin, before I have you read this wonderful piece that you wrote, can you just tell us a little bit about, real quick, before I even I'm going to introduce you, but what is Dark Matter? What is that magazine?
Dark Matter Women Witnessing is an online journal for women's writing and visual art that is created in response to the time that we're in, you know, a time of massive species loss and environmental collapse. And we like to say that it's a home for dreams and visions and communications with the non-human realms, particularly those that can help us understand how humans can heal our relationship with the earth.
Amazing. Well, let me tell my listeners a little bit about you, and then we're going to get into this wonderful piece that you wrote. I want to do a shout out to my friend Cora Rose in Sebastopol, who made me aware of this wonderful piece. I want to thank her for that. But let me tell our listeners just a little bit about you, and tell me, how do you pronounce your last name? I just want to make sure I have it correct.
It's Flintz.
Flintz, okay. Oh, I went go to the head of the class, Elaine. You did it right. Well, Kristen Flintz is a writer, editor, and dreamer who lives in northern Connecticut on land that once belonged to the Algonquin peoples, including bands of the Ogwam and Tuxis tribes. Wow. She is assistant editor of Dark Matter, Women Witnessing, which publishes writing and visual art in response to an age of massive species loss and environmental collapse. It is a home for dreams, visions, and communications with the non-human realms, especially those with messages for how humans might restore their relationship to the earth. Currently, she is engaged in a grassroots global effort to save up to 1,500 elder oaks from being felled to rebuild Notre Dame Cathedral. She and her musician husband live with two feline companions and teachers. I love that. Ophelia and Zoe. I have a dog, Rosie. So I understand perfectly what you say when you say that there are teachers. They are sure our companions and teachers. Well, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Not at the moment. I'd be happy to read the piece if you'd like.
Okay, let me talk
a little bit about that.
Yes, we're going to just tell us just before you get into it. What did you just wake up one morning and write it? Was that it?
Actually, that's pretty much it. About 15 minutes before I would usually log into work, there were a couple of phrases that had been knocking around in my head for a couple of days, and I thought, you know, I'm just gonna put them down. And about 15 minutes later, the piece was there in front of me. I hadn't expected that. And I decided to post it to Facebook, almost against my better judgment. And that's sort of how it happened.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because there's a poem on the website on Women's Spaces. I am women. I am all women. I would invite you to listen to read that. And that's the same.
I did.
Yeah, that's the same thing that happened to me. I was inspired. In 5 minutes, I had that whole thing written, if you can believe it. You know, and it's the same thing here. So let's get into it. Let's go ahead. I've asked to tell my listeners this is a 5-minute piece. sit back and relax and listen. And, Kristen, I want you to know that I have it in front of me that all of a sudden if you kind of, you know, sometimes we get a little excited, I'll help you come back on. But just keep going. And we're going to go ahead and read it. And like I told my listeners, it's 5 minutes long. So let's go. This is Kirsten Kurtz. Pronounce your last name. Flint. Flint reading her letter, an imagined letter from COVID-19 to humans. Go ahead, Kristen.
Stop. Just stop. It is no longer a request. It is a mandate. We will help you. We will bring the supersonic high-speed merry-go-round to a halt. We will stop the planes, the trains, the schools, the malls, the meetings, the frenetic, furied rush of illusions and obligations that keep you from hearing our single and shared beating heart, the way we breathe together in unison. Our obligation is to each other, as it has always been, even if, even though, you have forgotten. We will interrupt this broadcast, the endless cacophonous broadcast of divisions and distractions, to bring you this long breaking news. We are not well. None of us. All of us are suffering. Last year, the firestorms that scorched the lungs of the earth did not give you pause, nor the typhoons in Africa, China, Japan, nor the fevered climates in Japan and India. You have not been listening. It is hard to listen when you are so busy all the time, hustling to uphold the comforts and conveniences that scaffold your lives. But the foundation is giving way, buckling under the weight of your needs and desires. We will help you. We will bring the firestorms to your body. We will bring the fever to your body. We will bring the burning, searing, and flooding to your lungs that you might hear. We are not wow. Despite what you might think or feel, we are not the enemy. We are messenger. We are ally. We are a balancing force. We are asking you to stop, to be still, to listen, to move beyond your individual concerns and consider the concerns of all. To be with your ignorance, to find your humility, to relinquish your thinking minds and travel deep into the mind of the heart, to look up into the sky, streaked with fewer planes, and see it, to notice its condition, clear, smoky, smoggy, rainy. How much do you need it to be healthy, so that you may also be healthy? To look at a tree and see it, to notice its condition. How does its health contribute to the health of the sky, to the air you need to be healthy? To visit a river and see it, to notice its condition. Clear, clean, murky, polluted. How much do you need it to be healthy, so that you may also be healthy? How does its health contribute to the health of the tree, who contributes to the health of the sky, so that you may also be healthy? Many are afraid now. Do not demonize your fear, and also do not let it rule you. Instead, let it guide you. In your stillness, listen for its wisdom. What might it be telling you about what is at work, at issue, at risk, beyond the threat of personal inconvenience and illness? As the health of a tree, a river, the sky tells you about the quality of your own health, what might the quality of your health tell you about the health of the rivers, the trees, the sky, and all of us who share this planet with you? Stop. Notice if you are resisting. Notice what you are resisting. Ask why. Stop. Just stop. We will help you if you listen.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, listening to you read it is even better than reading it myself. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. And one of the things that got me is our obligation to each other. That is such a beautiful line. What do you think you meant by that, Christine?
Well, if I think about my own personal life, which, like many of us, it's very busy. You know, I have this meeting, and I have that meeting, and I have this deadline and that commitment. And I think I had a sense at the beginning of the pandemic that it might go on for a very long time, and that perhaps this was an opportunity for each of us to think about what is really, truly important. We were already seeing indications that the illness could be very serious and even deadly for some people. And I think it was hitting very close to home for a lot of people, which is always an opportunity to say, what might really be going on here? Do I need to reevaluate where I'm expending my energy and what I'm devoting myself to? And I think not just, our obligations are not just to each other as human beings, but to the world around us, being in reciprocal relationship with the planet that makes our lives possible is something that's very important to me.
Well, you did a beautiful, beautiful expression, and I'd like to know if I can have your permission to put this on Women's Spaces so my listeners can go and read it.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
So it'll be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. And, Kristen, why don't you give us a website or any way people can contact if they want to contact you, perhaps even do an interview like I've done it. You read it. You were a little bit worried, I know, when we first talked, but you absolutely read it absolutely beautifully. Thank you so much. So let me have your website, and then we're going to end this segment.
Okay, thank you. I would say if people want to contact me, probably the best way to do that is through Dark Matter Women Witnessing. That's all one word, .com. Dark Matter Women Witnessing.com.
And I'm going to be in touch with you to do a little bit longer interview with you about Talk Matters, because this sounds so, so interesting. Well, Kristen Flitz, thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces, and thank you so much for giving the world this beautiful, beautiful writing, an imagined letter from COVID-19 to humans. And I hope we all pay attention. I know I certainly am, and we are. We are. Our obligation is to each other. Once we learn that and start working together, I think that's the longest and best road to peace. So thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine.
Wow, what a reading. I'm telling you, thank you, Cora Rose, for turning me on to this, and thank you, Kirsten, for reading this. I mean, it's just beautiful, and once again, it'll be on Women's Spaces. Well, we're going to take another musical break. And, oh, my goodness, that whole thing, that whole thing just got me. And we're going to take a musical break. And when we come back, I will be talking with Terry Moon, founder of TerryMoon.com, one of the things that they say in the poem is you have to go deep with inside to find your heart. And that's what Terry Moon and I are going to be talking about. And I went on her website, and I'll tell you, there is so much information and so many things, so many ways to kind of heal yourself and get in touch with yourself that it's amazing. So it's just an honor for me to have her on. And the song I'm going to be playing is one of my favorite songs, The Greatest Love. And it was my mind's going blank. Anyway, it was sung by Kennedy Holm. The song that I'm going to present is going to be sung by Kennedy Holmes. And so when we return, we will be talking with Terry Moon. You want to go ahead and play that, Ken?
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on.
Your strength in love. Oh my God, that song turns me on. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest. Joining me on the phone is Terry Moon. Welcome, Terry. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you. I mean, I don't know if you were streaming, but boy, we just had this letter read from, a special letter read from the COVID virus by this woman by the name of Kirsten Flintz. It was just amazing. Before we start, is it okay if I tell my listeners just a little bit about you?
Sure.
Okay, Terry Moon is the founder of TerryMoon.com. She has taught effective and empowering ways of thinking and communicating for 16 years. She has 33 years experience as a holistic healthcare practitioner, is an international best-selling author, and an inspirational speaker and workshop facilitator. Terry offers mediation, group communication skills, training, and private compassionate listening sessions to support authentic, artful, and aligned living. Her clients experience meaning and purpose in their work lives, joy, and on this authenticity in their relationship, enoughness in their lives. I love that word, enoughness in their lives, and harmony with each other and nature. Wow, that sounds wonderful. Anything else you'd like to add, Terry?
I'm glad you like that word, enoughness. That's something I made up.
I know. The reason I mentioned it, I'm glad you said that, because I looked it up to try. I said, what's the meaning of that? That's a great way to put it. No, we're going to put it in the dictionary. I love that, enoughness. Well, you know, before we begin, you know, I went to your website, you know, and I'll tell you, I really want to encourage people to go to your website because there is so much information and so many different tools that, really women really need to see and work with. And you, had this one section called Three Tools to Fend Off Anxiousness and Despair. I want to talk about that. You know, I want to just talk about that from as we begin. Can you talk about that, what attracted you to both understand these principles for yourself and the challenge of sharing with others? You know, I think it's a very, very interesting concept. And I want to just read the three things you were talking about. Become aware of your current thought. Your stories create our lives. And then the last one, which I thought was very, very interesting, choose a different story. So can you talk about how what inspired you to do that? It sounds like this is probably the beginning of what got you into your work.
Well, I've been living this different philosophy for, gosh, more than 30 years, probably more like 35, 36 years now, of just, you know, knowing that I have choice in every moment. And how I am thinking is really changing what my options are, what my choices can be. So if I have that, you know, with the enoughness, if I'm telling myself I'm not enough, then I'm not going to be experiencing that enoughness inside. But if I change my story, then I have a completely different experience in the world. And I, you know, I have that history of doing body work for 33 years. And part of the body work that I've done, you know, I evolved over those years, is reprogramming our core beliefs in our limbic brain and in our brainstem, and changing at the cellular level those thoughts so that we can have that different experience in our lives. It's different than doing affirmations, for instance. You know, it's at the cellular level, and it makes the transition and the change so much easier when we're at that level. Does that make sense?
Well, you know why it makes sense. You know, I went back to school when I was 30. And I was a single parent at the time, and I had no self-image at all about being a student. In fact, I thought I was just a dumb blonde, and if I was lucky, I'd find a husband and marry him. You know, that would be the thing. My mother said I was her most beautiful daughter. And I literally had to change my story. You know, and when I read this, I thought this is some of the best advice I've seen in a long time, especially around that area. You have to start telling yourself a different thing about yourself, and we don't realize all the self-talk that really kind of gets into the way of being who we really are. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had a similar experience when I was in graduate school. The university I was attending, they were just opening up a new program with the master's program, and I found myself in, you know, with a lot of other people that were getting their PhDs, and there I was, you know, just had my bachelor's degree, and we didn't know if the program was actually going to happen until just like 3 weeks before it was there. So it all happened really quickly. And after I applied, and there I was sitting there with all these other people who were you know, they were students of Skinner, they were students of Maslow, they were students, people that I had read about in books but never met. And I found myself having those thoughts of like, what, you know, they made a mistake choosing me. Like, I don't, you know, these people, I don't belong with these people. Here I am, like, left because I'm getting a master's and not a PhD or was in a different program. So it was all that kind of thinking. And it really made it hard for me to focus. And I remember having different grades, you know, than what I was hoping to have. And I remember going to one of my professors who knew me really well because I had studied with him and done research with him for a few years already. And he said, I said, on my next test, I need to make an A in order to get a C out of the class or whatever. And he said, okay, do it, you know, because he knew me. He knew I was capable of it. But the voices in my head were telling me something so contrary to success in that situation, that it was actually causing me to stumble.
Well, you want to hear something funny? But when I was getting, when they accepted me into my master's class, I called them up. I called, literally called them up on the phone and said, did you just accept me? I mean, seriously, for the whole 2.5 years, it was at San Francisco State, for the whole 2.5 years, every time I'd walk in the office, the woman would say, oh, my God, here's Elaine. Elaine, do you feel accepted yet? So, I mean, just very, very funny. Well, you know, one of the things I do is that I do have my guests send me 5 questions, so I find out what they're passionate about. And I found your questions very, very insightful. And you wanted to talk about emotional fluency, and I think that's kind of what you're talking about right now. What is it? You know, what is emotional fluency? I mean, how does it affect us, and how does it help us overcome, like, that self-doubt that you and I were both talking about that we had to overcome? Otherwise, I wouldn't be in the radio and you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing. But how can we increase it, and what are the consequences of not having it?
Yeah, so emotional fluency is being able to identify the feelings that we're having inside ourselves, in our bodies, this emotion, you know, energy in motion in our bodies. And we have all these different feelings as human beings. And like some of the research that Brené Brown's been talking about recently, she says, you know, that we have literally the average adult in America has a feelings vocabulary of 3 words. She says they're sad, mad, glad. But honestly, in my experience, the 3 words that people know are good, I feel bad, I feel fine. And the fine is with a big smile, showing my teeth, I'm fine. Don't ask me how I am because I don't know how I am. You know, and it's that kind of knowingness of what's happening inside of us is how we can connect with ourselves. And it's also the key to connecting with others, because if I can identify those feelings, and then I can actually express them. And so being able to express what's going on inside of us gives other people, it has this way of connecting us with other people, because they have the same feelings and sensations as well. But, you know, in our culture, we're so busy running from those feelings, running from the body sensations, that we don't know often what we're feeling. And what's interesting about it is that I see our emotions and that emotional fluency as our inner GPS system. You know, it's the way that we navigate through life. Our body is constantly giving us feedback about, is this the direction to go, or is this other direction going to serve you more? And if we're not listening to those internal GPS, those internal sensations or emotions in our body, then we're going to end up somewhere where we're going to wonder, why did we get here, or what are we doing here? Because it's not going to feel satisfying. So we're going to end up in relationships where maybe we're not getting our needs met. Or we're going to end up in jobs like I did. I ended up in a career where my health was destroyed, really. I had a bleeding colon. I had vision that wasn't working anymore from being in a cubicle. I had, you know, lower back pain from sitting in a desk 60 hours a week. My body was screaming at me. I was 27 years old, and my body said, you can't do this anymore. And then 5 doctors told me, you can't do this kind of work anymore, because I was going from what my mind thought that I should be doing, not listening to what my body was saying, this is the direction for me. And my body was telling me, it had to start screaming with this pain and with this physical health challenges in order for me to be able to hear it in those days, because I didn't know how to listen inside at that age. And I was using substances, you know, I was doing things that were numbing myself to try to protect myself from these feelings that I didn't know what to do with. And so those are some of the consequences, is that we can be numb, we can be disconnected, we can have no intimacy, and we can, and actually it keeps us from getting our needs met, because the purpose of our feelings, as I see it, is to help us know what it is our needs are, what our values are, what's important to us. And so if we're disconnected from our feelings, we'll never know what our needs are. And if you don't know what your needs are, it's pretty hard to get them met. You know, it's much easier to get our needs met when we know what they are. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. And also, what causes us, what's created in us is we do a lot of negative self-judgments, you know, and how, you know, in looking at what you're saying, how do you eliminate some of these self-judgments and how can you move on to have more emotional fluency where you're more in touch with yourself? Like, for example, in relationships, when you talk to people, oftentimes you don't even hear what the other person's saying and they don't hear what you're saying because we're so wound up in our own insecurities. So how
That's
do you overcome
right.
that? What are some suggestions you would have? And then also in today's political world, when there's so much negativity, you know, how do people move through this stuff and how can they work on themselves to achieve it, to achieve more, more confidence, so to speak?
Yes. Well, for 16 years, I've been teaching something called heart-based communication. Some people call it collaborative or compassionate or nonviolent communication or giraffe talk. And I just love the way that it helps us develop a vocabulary. And again, I'll go back to Brené Brown's research. She says, you know, we have this three-word vocabulary, which she says we need in order to be emotionally fluent as an adult is a 30-word feeling vocabulary. So we need 10 times what we have. And my experience is that we don't even have that. So what I offer people is a list of 100 feelings just to get them started, and I categorize them and group them so that it makes it easy to find their way around, and then their body can tell them, yes, that's what I'm feeling, when they find the feeling word that's describing what's happening inside of them. And once you know the feeling word, then like I said, it points you to the need or the value that's either being met or not met. And so that can provide us with so much clarity to move forward. But another piece of the heart-based communication that's kind of answering your question is that, you know, we stop judging things. We separate an evaluation from an observation. Now, this is maybe not so easy to do. Krishnamurti, the Indian philosopher, actually said that being able to do this, separate observations from evaluations, is the highest form of human intelligence. We are taught, if you notice through as you go through your day, everything that happens, oh, that's good, or that's bad, or oh, that's good, this is bad, and this is better, this is worse. And we make all of these judgments, and that takes us out of the present moment. It takes us out of actually experiencing what happens, what's happening in the moment. And it puts us right into our heads instead of into our bodies and into our emotions. And so that living in our heads is not a very satisfying place to live. And that's where all those judgments are. That's where that I'm not enough thinking comes from. That's where we have all those critics that can run our lives. And if we get out of our heads and get into our bodies instead and stop putting everything into either the good or the bad categories, it frees up so much energy to actually live in a satisfying way.
Well, you know, when you're on the radio, time goes by very quickly, and I'm looking at the clock, and our segment is going to end in about 3 minutes. So how's about, you know, I really want to have you back again because you asked some other questions that I really feel that I don't have the time to really get into it the way I want to. So for this segment, maybe give us one or two hints of what we can do, say, today. Like this morning, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, I do the pledge. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. It depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. So what are some hints that you can give people, maybe one or two things that they could do today to actually help them overcome some of that judgmental stuff that often stops us and also creates fear? Like today, in today's political world, there's a lot of fear. So just a few hints.
That's right. Well, so one of the hints is I love this expression that I've heard around 12-step rooms is that, you know, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. And if we can listen twice as much as we're talking, then that's going to help in the beginning. But also, another hint is to turn inwards rather than outwards. Instead of thinking, what would somebody else think of this? Or, you know, you go inside and say, you know, how does this feel to me? And I'm wondering if those two things land for you, Elaine.
Pardon, I didn't hear that.
I wonder if those two things land, if those two things make sense. Do you,
oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the most important thing is to listen, you know, to listen to not only to more listen to yourself more positively, but make sure you listen like people like yourself that are trying to give this message to go within and to feel better about yourself. Okay, Terry, Terry, we're at the last minute of our segment here. So I would love if you would give your website, how people can get a hold of you. And also, I'd like a little bit of a commitment. I want to do a second interview, if that's okay with you. I'd like to give you a lot more time.
I love that, Elaine. Absolutely. I loved listening to your show earlier. I feel like we're so on the same page. So, yes. So I'm going to give you a couple of different places to find me. One is at my website, and that's terrymoon.com. That's spelled with a T like tall, E-R-R-I, M-O-O-N. And so terrymoon.com. Or the other place people can find me is at my meetup group, which is meetup.com. And it's heart-based-communication-meetup. So either of those places are places where people can find me, more about me. And also, too, I'm wondering if I could offer your listeners a...
I'm going to have to call you on that because we're running out. The clock is running out. This is Elaine B. Holtz.
Okay.
You have been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, March 29th, 2021.